appreciate that. That bell choir is so easy to lead. There's just no, barely even have to practice for anything like that. Do be praying as well, as of course our revival is now only about a month away. And so be praying for that. We're actually starting right before at the very end of March, that Sunday going into the 1st of April this year. And Brother Jerry Ross, of course, will be with us for those days, preaching for us Sunday through Wednesday. He's excited about coming. He even has his assistant pastor and his wife is coming up with him for it. And so we talked a couple of days ago, but anyhow, they're excited for it. So do be praying for our revival. And I not better be the only one excited for cereal night besides eight-year-olds. All right, we need to get excited about this. And again, we appreciate the missionary wives coming in. But if you would please take the cold weather back with you, we would appreciate that. I left the hospital and the temperature was dropping, and I didn't even realize it. I'm walking to my truck at the other end of Providence about 4:30, whenever it was, 4:30-ish. And the wind was hitting me. And by the time I got to the truck, I think my face was pretty much frozen. I'm like, what is going on? And God, here, somebody else mentioned wind chill. And I checked it. It said at that moment, the wind chill was, if you were just average wind, was 19 below zero. If you hit a gust, Anchorage at the time was a little over 30 below zero with the gust at wind chill. And then I decided, I made the mistake of checking the 10-day forecast. Because my family put on there, all of a sudden Daniel texts, hey, I'm moving to Tennessee. Then Josiah followed up with the same thing. I just put on there, not allowed. Stop it now. All right. I'm going to start off reading one chapter, Luke chapter 10, here this evening. And then here in a second, I'll pray after that, give a little bit of introduction. Then I'm going to go to the book of Ezra chapter 3. Again, do continue praying for Roger. I haven't told the BB story yet about Roger, have I? Have I told it? I haven't yet? Oh, you got to hear this. So last Wednesday night, afterwards going back to the hospital with Roger, that's when he's still in the emergency room. So everything went south that day out at the restaurant. And they took him back about 9:30 for a CT scan. They said it'd be 30 minutes and we'll be back. Well, about an hour and a half passes, and Barbara, she's getting worried. I'm trying to find a nurse, find out what's going on with Roger. Why is this taking so long? Finally, we see him. They're coming back with Roger. And they come in. Two nurses bring him in. They're getting it situated. And then she tells us why it took so long for Roger. It's just typical. It's a great story. So when they started this CT scan on Roger, they had to stop immediately. There's a BB in his forehead. And they had to call another doctor and get clearance to take a look at this. The other doctor came down and said, that's been there since childhood. It's on the outside of a skull. We're good to go. You could put him back through the CT scan. So apparently Roger, when we woke up, we talked to him about that. And yes, his brothers would shoot him with a BB gun. So he still has it. He said he didn't even know that he had a BB in his forehead right now. So I was trying to get the doctor today. I told him I want to get the doctor to take the BB out. I want the BB. Roger says, no, I want the BB. I said, yeah, I guess you do deserve it. And all right, Luke chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse number 38. So, by the way, we need to get a magnet. If Roger's not paying attention or sleeping, just put a magnet on him and lift his head up. I told him that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a magnet for him. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for our church. Lord, please, please, please help me to be a help to the church tonight. And of course, to the missionary wives and all who are present and listening. Lord, I pray that this would strengthen us in our walk with you. Lord, that you would use it to change us, to draw us closer to you. Lord, so please control what I say and how I say it, and I pray that you would be glorified as a result. Lord, I certainly do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted. Lord, I certainly pray for that conviction and that drawing that perhaps even this evening that they would repent and place their faith in Christ. Lord, may you be glorified. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I think with this message tonight, I really want to be helping. It does come to serving the Lord. Serving Him with a passion. Being able to persevere when we're serving. A key to avoiding burnout. And honestly, I don't think I'll be long tonight. I really don't. I basically have one point for this message. That's all I'm going for. I had others say, you know what? I'm not doing them. I'm going to stay with one point for this. Okay? Within this text, and I'm going to go over to Ezra here in a minute, and I'll explain why. We have two sisters with two very different approaches to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Very, very different. One is said to be by the Lord careful and troubled, even though she's serving. Careful and troubled. Worried about this, even though she's serving. Again, she's serving. The other is said to have chosen the good part and, what is even more key, something that is needful. So there was something that Mary had that Martha did not. And because Martha didn't have it, it skewed her perspective on what serving, following, worshiping God is all about. One saw the need that she actually had when it came to Christ. One saw the good thing, the good part. The other one did not understand what the real need was. I want to parallel this to show the difference between Mary and Martha. This is why I'm just going to go to one point with this, because I think it's the key to it. All right? It's not what I would call exhaustive and covering every aspect of it, but without a doubt, this will be the heart of the issue. So in thinking about how I could best portray that, without necessarily having that directly given to me in Scripture, let's go to Ezra, where I can demonstrate the difference between Mary and Martha in something that takes place in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. And I'm just going to read, I think, two verses for this. Explain what's taking place and try and show you what I'm going to pull from this text to demonstrate the difference between Mary and Martha. Just to demonstrate what it was that Mary possessed that Martha did not. Ezra chapter 3, it says in verse 8, "Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests, and the Levites, and all that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord." Let's jump down to verse 10. "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they sent the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, and with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel." I only read those few verses and really the several chapters. I could go back to chapter 1 for the beginning of this and all the way through chapter 6. You'll have it actually between in the book of Ezra, and it's sort of important to have this foundation down. Between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Ezra is about a 58-year time frame. It's actually during that time frame you have the book of Esther. Those events in the book of Esther take place during that time frame. The conclusion of this is you're going to have where Nehemiah comes on the scene. There are some key events that take place. We are dealing contextually here with the return of Israel from Babylon back to Jerusalem. The edict has been given. They can depart Babylon. They can head back. It is there. And there's a whole other message here that I will preach from this text dealing with. It's not the point of my message, but I'll just mention it because it's on my mind right now. Of the amount who return, there's three returns. One is under Zerubbabel, one is under Ezra, one is under Nehemiah. Total combined return, 50,000. 50,000 left Babylon of approximately 1 million. Sad to see how many decided to stay in Babylon of God's people and so few returned. That's a whole other message. I'm not preaching that. And so when they return, when they come back, Zerubbabel is first. Zerubbabel is actually in the kingly line of David. He is the grandson, really, of the last king there of Judah that was taking place. This is his grandson. So he is leading this. He's leading what takes place. And what we see here given by the order of events, ordered by God, when they got back to Jerusalem, there were set things in place what they had to do. They had to build an altar first. Then they had to build the temple. Then they had to build a wall. All right? It's within this framework that we're going to see the difference, really, between what Mary possessed and what Martha did not possess. All right? When we see the first thing ordered to build is the altar, none of us have trouble with that. Martha did not. That simply dealt with the sin of the nature of Israel, which is the first thing that needs to be in place is salvation and dealing with sin. That gets done first. For the most part, we don't struggle with that aspect. For the most part, if you're actually saved and have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, one, you took care of all of it at justification when you got saved, but even as Christians, when we have the indwelling Spirit of God, you're never comfortable sin. You can't just live in it. That's not how that goes. The battle rages within. And so usually we'll confess it. Lord, please help. I need your strength. It's usually the side of the altar of dealing with sin is not our problem. And within independent Baptist churches, for the most part, neither is the wall, although that is decaying today. Wall serves as protection. All right? That's what it does. It protects. It protects the enemies, the battles, all that's coming, who gets in and out. Walls, the altar deals with our sin. Walls very much deal with our standards. Our standards never make us spiritual, but they do protect. And so for the most part, as independent Baptists, we don't struggle with that either. Although that is changing greatly in the day we live in, I understand that. The walls are decayed in many spots. But for the most part, we don't. Our problem is too often we think that when the wall is up, when the standards are in place, again, that equates to spirituality. It doesn't. Never has. It's a wall. It protects. That's what it does. The problem between Mary and Martha lies with the temple. It lies with the temple. So the altar was to be constructed, not the wall first. Keep that in mind. The altar was to go first. When the altar was completed, the order came, now the temple. When the temple was completed, now the wall. The key between Mary and Martha, I want you to listen to me, is the temple. One, Mary built the temple and protected it. That was not in place in the life of Martha. Let me explain. Let me go through this, and I think you'll understand the parallel that I am drawing in Scripture. Because as we serve the Lord, We just don't, you know, we don't stop with confessing sin and repentance. The very next thing, you might think that that's it. Now I get to serve. Nope, you're going to get this really wrong. After we get right, after we come to salvation, or after we get ourselves right with confessing sin and seeing, listen, I'm wrong here, and we repent of it and ask God for His help and that direction to get right with Him. It's immediately, just like here, you see it immediately in chapter 3. Had I read the chapter, the moment the altar was finished, get started on the temple now. As soon as that takes place, the temple work needs to begin in your life. If it doesn't, I'm telling you, you're going to be a Martha. The temple has to be in place. Many struggle with sin, they'll confess it, but they never build a temple. They might jump to the wall, but they never build the temple. And it's not that you were a hypocrite when you got right. You had every intention of getting right. But you see, the easiest ones of these to miss is the temple. Here's some dangers. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say after you confess sin, get things right, you just don't want to jump in and get active in ministry and serving. This is where multitudes fall. They're sincere, they're right, they get right with God, they're not being a hypocrite whatsoever, they mean business, the altar in their life is real. Lord, I'm sorry, you have dealt with my sin for the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much, I want to serve you. But then they skip the temple and go right into the service. We can get so busy doing things for our service for God that we actually forget to build the temple. Here are the errors you will fall into, or if you want to measure if this is true in your life. You will mistake activity for spirituality. You will mistake because you're busy in ministries and all that you're doing, and you're so cumbered about, so busy serving, that you will mistake that without a temple in place in your life. You will mistake that for spirituality. And that's a danger, because you'll believe it. It's not that you're being a hypocrite. And for some, it is a show, but it doesn't have to be. There are those who are genuine with it, and they believe, because too often within independent Baptists, we can base spirituality on activity. But you can have some people who are very active and heart is so far from God, because there's no temple. You can be very, very busy and yet very, very carnal. That's never how the Lord designed this. It's missing what it's about. Another indication of this is when your activity becomes about you. It's about you. Your activity is about you. Whether it's a look at me attitude or whatever it is, the focus comes back to you. Listen to me, I'm telling you right now, you don't have a temple built. It's not present. When activity becomes about the need, which can be a need in our lives, for feeling involved. When it's meeting that, when you almost like you feel this need of having to be involved, and you're filling that with activity and activity and activity, I'm telling you, you're missing the temple. Or, for some, these don't apply. Again, these are just things that can be indicators. They're not present, all of these not present in everyone's life. It might just be one or two, or whatever the case might be. But here's a fourth one. When your motive is wrong for your service, there's no temple. You missed it. There's no temple. Here's the fifth one. When in your service, you have a critical spirit. Listen to me. There's no temple. You missed it. There's no temple. You have mistaken activity for spirituality. Lord, look at me. Look at all that I'm doing. Yet you missed the temple. You see, so what do you mean by the temple? It's simple. Whether we look, starting, I'm not going to go back for time's sake here, whether I go back to the book of Exodus, we get into the tabernacle or the temple as what we see here, the temple would be, or the tabernacle with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy, the place of the very presence of God. That's what that was. It represented, or in times actually was, the very presence of God. It was the place where they would meet with God. It was a place at times they would fall down with fear and trembling, where they would see the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, God's presence there, the fear of the Lord hitting them, them falling down. Again, the place of meeting God, of coming before Him. That happened at the temple. It was the place where they were constantly reminded that God is real. God is with us. He's not far away. He's right here. They were reminded of Him. They were reminded, which we miss so often today in our churches, which is why our walls are decaying, of the very holiness of the Almighty God. Out from the temple, out from the presence of God in our life, is what should flow all of our service. You know what Mary saw that Martha didn't? I need the presence of God. That's what I need. That's what's needful, not the service. What's needful and what is good is the presence of God. I'm staying right here. This was the difference, the key difference between Mary and Martha. Martha was so cumbered about, so worried. Look at, can't you not tell my sister? Look at all that I'm doing. Lord, she's doing nothing. Really? She's doing nothing. Is it about the service, or is it about God? The one showed for her was about her service. That's what was elevated. It's not about our service. It's about God. She was missing the temple. She literally had the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, all the, right there. And notice the critical spirit coming out. Can you not tell her to get up and start working? Does she not sound like a good Baptist? Wasn't too long ago here, church, I preached a message on the presence of God. On practicing the presence of God in your life. He is there. Know what I was trying to get you to do? Build a temple. It's so important that once you get right, once you have that altar, that immediately the next step you take is practicing the presence of God. Having that place where you are going to meet with God. And not playing a game with it. Not checking your box. A foundation to this, and it certainly isn't the only piece, but a foundation to this is without a doubt your prayer life. It's foundational. So in other words, listen to me. Before I go on to everything else with this, if your prayer life isn't strong and in place, listen to me. Nothing else is going to matter. It's going to come crumbling down because you have no foundation. Your prayer life is your foundation. And again, if you skip this, you're going to be cumbered about. You're going to be so active in serving. You're going to think that's your spirituality. This is what, and you're missing. It's about the Creator. It's about Him. Our service flowing because we want to be close to Him. Where you have a place every day. This is building your temple. Listen to me. every day where you go to meet with God. Where it's not checking your box. Where it's not just going through some motions when you go to it. Where you actually are prepared to pray. He's the Creator. He's right there. Knowing I am meeting with God. Have that place every day. Have that prayer time. By the way, it's not just whether it's men leading your families. And I'm not talking about having the family devotion time, prayer time. You ought to have that. That's not building your temple. It's not. Is that needed? It is needed. That's for you leading your family. But I am dealing with your life. That's not going to cut it. Do you understand that? That needs to be in place, but that's not your prayer time. That's not your meeting with God. That's not you building your temple. Have that prayer time. Have that heart desiring to seek God. And the truth is, we're all flesh. There's going to be times, get this, and a lot of the time, we're not super spiritual. There's times you're going to wake up and you don't feel like it. That's the simple solution to that is one, of course, it's putting things in context. I'm still getting ready to talk to the Creator right now. That's what I'm doing. If you decide you're just going to go through it because you want to check your box, just you could skip it because it doesn't make a difference either way then. If you think the Lord hears vain prayers, He doesn't. It's just taking some time. He knows we're but flesh. Psalm 103. He reminds himself. So he knows that when I come before in this sinful condition, that I'm not some super spiritual, that I am a sinner that is saved by grace. The Creator recognizes that. So I have grace. I can come boldly unto the throne of grace. And as I come, I say, right, I'm talking to God. I'll get down on my knees and just be, Lord, please. Know what I need right now? The want to pray. I'm sorry, I'm flesh. I'm sorry. Lord, help my heart right now. Give me the want to. And then when you start praying, you'll be amazed. It's communing with God. This is building your foundation for the temple. Don't just check a box. Don't just go through the motion. No. Understand. No, again, that whole sermon, my mind's going, I'm not going to preach it. But He is right there. As it said in Philippians, go back and listen to the message again. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. Right there. Often in my mind to help me pray, I will have that image of me. I am coming before the Lord. Spiritually, I am. Now, let me say this. When you go to work on this temple, when you go, and I'm going to get to other things that are going to help you with this in a second. There's going to be hindrances. There's going to be adversaries. I'm not going to read it for time's sake here, but listen, if you read in chapter 4, they go to build the temple. They're working on it. They had a 16-year delay because of problems and enemies, hindrances. 16-year delay takes place. Listen, hindrances. Once you decide you're going to get serious with this, you're going to have so many excuses in your mind why you can't do it. Well, I just can't do it today. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up to be a Martha in your service. That's not. Know what happens then? You're a Martha, and all of a sudden your service is cumbersome. It's critical of others, and you're the only one that's doing anything here. Doesn't anybody see what I'm doing here, Lord? Doesn't anybody see what I'm doing? And yet the Lord knows you don't even have a temple. It's not about Him in your life. You've made it about you. But it's about the one who saved us. It's about Him. So once you've determined, Lord, I need that presence. I need to meet with you every day. This has to be the strength. Out of my service has to flow from, not in a religious spiritual talk, some semantics in your own mind. Oh yes, I am doing this for the Lord. When you know in your heart it's not. We're talking something that's genuine. Something that's just between you and God. So be careful. Know the hindrances will come, and you stay faithful to building your temple. Don't stop. All of a sudden, work schedules will change. Your car's going to break down. You're going to be fighting with your wife, with your husband. Your mother-in-law is going to move in. I don't know what all is going to happen. But hindrances will come. I know that. The spiritual battle is real. By the way, I do think there's a principle. If you look in chapter 4, it's interesting how the enemy was able to get them to hinder them for 16 years. They came in originally as friends. They did. They came in originally as friends. Listen to me. If in any way, spiritually speaking, remember that I talked about this a couple of messages ago too, how the devil works, not to be ignorant of his devices. When we were talking about those messages in 1 Peter, if you haven't listened to those last two messages on 1 Peter, they are so critical at how the devil works and trips you up as a Christian. All right? The devil doesn't come in looking like the devil. He'll come in carrying his Bible with spiritual talk. Listen. If there's somebody that's trying to pull you away from holiness, spirituality, listen, that's not your friend. It's not. It's about drawing closer to God. Remember, that's what the essence of 1 Peter chapter 2 false prophets were about. Not wrong on the doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. Not wrong on the doctrine of the resurrection. Those exist. That wasn't what he was dealing with that he said was coming. He said the false prophets were the ones that were going to appeal to our flesh. So look out for those hindrances. Listen, when you get serious, I've seen it time and time again, and I'm telling you, as a pastor, it's so heartbreaking. You can see people that are just so serious. It's so genuine. And I know they're still in for a battle. They're still in for a battle. And then something comes along. You're like, no, please, no, don't. And they don't recognize where it's coming from with the strength that they actually had, the testimony they were, the light they were, the salt they were. I'm still not done with this point yet, believe it or not. I'm glad I did not have more points. I never would have gotten to them. Now let's talk more about maintaining and building this temple, this presence of God in your life. Now, this is interesting. Okay, as they're working on the temple, there's going to be another man we're introduced to that comes into this, and he's going to be key. Zerubbabel is leading the building, all right? But then here comes, Zerubbabel led the very first group of Jews out of Babylon, but here comes another group, boom, led by a key man, Ezra. You might not know much about him, but he is one of the greatest men in the Word of God. He's incredible. Look at Ezra chapter 7. Look at Ezra chapter 7. Listen, this is what's going to help you with your temple, with the presence of God in your life. Look at verse 10. If you're going to memorize one verse in the book of Ezra, I believe it should be Ezra, whatever verse you want, I don't care, but I believe it should be Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. This man, they had, if you will, a strong man who had a heart for God in Zerubbabel, but he was more, I don't necessarily want to say political side, but nothing else is really coming to my mind right now. On the kingly side, that political side. This guy here, this is the guy that's going to feed them the Word of God. This is the guy that knows it, that's going to, he's going to come, he's going to present it. And as you go through it, it's all going to be about, as you're going to see, he'll deal with sin, get back to the reality of God in your life. It's going to be throughout right there. Listen, there's an importance in your life. I'm going to tie a few things together. Not only the prayer time, of course, you need the Bible time. I'm going to hit that right now. But it's also how the Lord has structured us right now since he was on the earth with a local New Testament church. We need the teaching. We need the preaching. You can come. You know how it is. You can come in. Man, you've been here. You know, we have 3 services a week. Here we go. I get to hear the same stories about New Guinea again. Cyril Knight is the stupidest thing he's done yet in 11 years. The preaching begins, and you know what? Wow, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 lights behind the Baptist. That's pretty interesting. I wonder what that big grate is up there for. Just kind of look around. Or just stare at me, and I know your mind's nowhere near me, because it's like a locked stare. So your mind is completely elsewhere right now. And you're just a master at that, at getting your mind somewhere else. You know what? You're simply wasting your time. You know what the feeding of that is? That's to build your temple. I mean, this isn't something we just came up with on our own. We didn't. The very first church the Lord Jesus Christ himself started, he is the head of every single local New Testament church. He is the one that has put in place pastors and teachers and the things that are needed for the perfecting of the saints. You need this time. Don't wait. Again, if you're a Martha, you'll be content just to sit in here, and who cares if you realize not. The point is you're here. No, that's not the point of it. The point is what you do when you're here, when you're listening. So, helps with it, one, is use the tools that God has established to help us with his presence. Ezra was a man who elevated the word of God. Ezra was a man who dealt with complications that if I feel like I'm having to deal with complications, Ezra is an encouragement to me. Because as he was trying to get Babylon out of the people, he had to deal with some crazy situations. And he needed some wisdom and guidance. But man, the guy would feed in the Bible and stay true to it and make the very best decisions he could based on Bible principles, even when he knew it's not clear. As you go through chapter 7 through 10, he is preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching, trying to get the people one goal, close to God. So that means every day the Bible needs to have a priority in our life. With church service, of course, but then in your own devotions, that's part of your temple. Getting into his word and not just checking your box. Not just going through the motions. Remember, I preached on that a couple of months ago. How sometimes, quote, your faithfulness can be the biggest detriment to your spirituality because you equate the simple act of doing it to spirituality when that has nothing to do with it. It's what you do when you read it. It's what you do when you pray. We think, again, the activity, the fact that I simply went through the motions, I am now spiritual. No, you're not. That's not going to do it. You're going to get burned out. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be cumbered. You're going to be needful. Why doesn't this person know? I mean, all those things are going to bother you. There's no temple. The presence of God isn't real in your life. You don't have that place where you can genuinely meet with God. To be in his book every day, seeking him in prayer. Being ready for the preaching when you come in. Being ready as you go to open the Word. This morning, here's a great morning. I'm the pastor of the church. I finished my devotions. I get up. I switch places from where I'm going. I head to my desk after I'm done with that. I sat down. I'm like, I don't even know what I just read. And so, right back to it. I never want that to be a habit. Never want that to be a habit. So, right back to it. Open it back up. Lord, I'm sorry. I just went through my motions. It's not about that. It's not. It's about meeting with God. That's what it's about. The difference between Mary and Martha was this. Mary recognized the need for the presence of God in her life. Martha thought the activity was enough and was even more important. She was wrong. How is your temple? With heads bowed and eyes closed.